Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Hotshot Wake Up. This is your weekly wildfire update. A couple of things we're going to talk about today. We're going to do a brief rundown of what's been happening across the nation with the wildfires. Kind of understated of what's been going on. The southern area is at a PL2, which is a preparedness level 2. The southwest, or region 3, has moved to a PL2 as well, and did so kind of quietly. Texas had some bigger fires. Florida had some incidents. One that kind of surprised everybody, as it was a fire that was 100% contained and then kind of squeaked out through a swamp pile and took off again. But it does seem like they kind of got a handle on that now. Oklahoma had some monsters. There was an incident up in Maryland that ended up being the largest wildfire in Maryland's history in the last 50 years. And surprisingly, it was only 700 acres. So not that big, but also not that surprising that 700 acres is a record fire out east. Kansas had a big burn week. They had some wildfires. And then basically the annual prescribed burning for ranchers and farmers took place. And people put a lot of fire on the ground. So much so that the state basically, from satellite images, it's like, oh, okay, Kansas is on fire. We'll cover some of the more specifics, but again, it's not a massive amount of incidents and wildfires that took place, but it is definitely ramping up. Then after that, we're going to talk about the update that came out of the Forest Service discussing basically everything that's been trying to be put in place for the last year and a half, if you go back to when the infrastructure bill was passed. But it's on the job series, the new series that they're planning on moving people into, or you could elect to move into that new job series, the wages, and then also we get an update on what's going on with the Bureau of Land Management and the Department of the Interior. It was nice to get an update, but at the same time, there's some language in the update where, you know, I'm talking to people and they're shaking their head just as much as I am. And they're like, golly, really? This is how this is going to go down. And just for a little background, this new job series, when they first pitched it, they're like, hey, we'll probably get it done by the end of 2022. And then about halfway, maybe three quarters of the way through the year, they said, hey, this isn't going to work, but we plan on having at least the descriptions all hammered out by January. And then that got pushed back to April, and they're like, hey, we'll probably have this done by April. And now we're at the point where they're saying, hey, we're hoping to have this done by the end of 2023, maybe 2024. Those details are in this write-up, and I'll pass that on to everybody and let you know what's going on. And then also, there is a lot of conversations happening this last week when it comes to prescribed fire. There was this bill that passed the New Mexico government session and then signed into law by the governor. It was introduced by a Republican. It was signed by the Democrat governor. And it's basically this regulations on prescribed fire. What was behind that was the Calf Canyon Hermit's Peak, which started 1 year and 2 days ago. And the legislation was drafted to shut down the federal government from burning in New Mexico. That's kind of how this started. It was the genesis of this bill. It made its way through some committees, but then it got changed and it got amended before the governor signed it. And quite frankly, in my mind, it was somewhat of a bait and switch, because it started by saying, hey, we don't want the federal government to be burning in New Mexico during these months. And then the final product that came through was, we can ban private citizens from burning in New Mexico, and basically the federal government's exempt from all of this. So it's basically the bill did a 180 and went from saying, hey, the feds are the ones who caused the Calf Canyon Hermit's Peak fire. We should put restrictions on when they burn inside of our state's borders, just so we have control over what the federal government's doing in our forests. By the time it was signed, that they were exempt, and now private citizens and ranchers are the ones who are restricted under this bill, and the federal government is exempt from this bill. So it's basically a classic bait and switch when it comes to legislation. They do it with all sorts of things. I could list off all sorts of bills that are taking place and have been signed into law where this took place. One that's happening right now, I could just say, is the TikTok ban bill. And yeah, it's been in the news, and who cares? I don't use TikTok, but it's very popular, obviously. And there's this big to-do saying, hey, this bill is to ban TikTok. And ultimately what it does is it restricts the user and not the website. And basically, if the user accesses a website that the government says you can't access, it's fines of hundreds of thousands of dollars and jail time. And basically, it places surveillance over everybody's devices, which we should know by now already takes place, but this gives them legal precedent to do so. And instead of banning TikTok, it actually just bans the user. But back to PrescribeFire, there was also a public comment that came out from an organization that came from the Property and Environment Research Center, which is a think tank. They're out of Bozeman, Montana. And they had some comments when it came to PrescribeFire and the new EPA rules. And on the last podcast, the midweek brief, we talked about what's going on with the retardant ban and the EPA and an organization called the CEQ, which is the Council of Environmental Quality, and basically how they're all intertwined and this whole thing has become a political quagmire. PERC, or the PERC, made this public comment on the new air quality issues that are arriving when it comes to prescribed fire and how the way the new rules are set, it basically puts massive amounts of restrictions on different entities, private citizens, even the feds. So like even the agencies, the Forest Service and the BLM will have trouble working around this rule. And obviously the states saying that there's new particulate matter regulations that have come out. And the retardant ban that we've been talking about came out of the EPA Clean Water Act. But there were new water rules put into place designating and defining different types of drainages and other things as protected waterways. And then the lawsuits came, and this is where we're at now with that. On this side of it, it's dealing with the clean air rules that have been implemented in the last couple years, saying, hey, you're putting restrictions so tight that we, by definition, we can't even conduct prescribed burns anymore. We'll go through that. It's pretty extensive, and the public comment was made because a public comment period was opened up for all of this stuff, and it's good to see people participating in that. But what I find not shocking, I guess, but what I find it's amazing is that folks who are slamming their hands on the table pushing for prescribed fire are the same ones that are backing legislation and regulatory rules that make prescribed fire more difficult, and even just fighting fire more difficult. So we'll get into all that. Again, it's ironic, it's hypocritical, and I think some people that are on that boat just may not even realize it. They might not even realize the effect that all of these things are having on the wildfire industry. But first things first, let's cruise through what's going on in the nation with wildfires. It's a preparedness level one nationally. That shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. In the last week, there were 661 new fires, 49 of those being large incidents. There's 33 large fires that were contained in the last week and 21 uncontained fires. In the southern area, in the last week, they had 41 new large incidents and a total of 502 new fires. Some of the more prominent ones are the Cypress Camp Trail Fire that's down in the Big Cypress National Preserve down in Florida. There was some pretty substantial fire behavior for a couple days, but I believe that's moderated. They've been burning down there. They've been lighting off some roads, fighting fire with fire, and it seems to be quite effective. The area has been in a drought, and it seems like that will continue here in the months ahead. But the Cypress Camp Trail Fire was mapped at 4,587 acres. It's 0% contained at this point in time, an estimated containment around the 18th of April, and has a current cost of $510,000. There was that last resort fire in North Carolina. That took place a while ago, but they're still working on that. It's not fully contained yet. That was started by a debris pile or someone burning some debris that got away. They have that mapped at 5,280 acres and currently the most expensive fire in the nation at $1.1 million. As we discussed at the top of the show, Oklahoma, like I said, it's understated what they've got going on. Like, they have a lot of fires, multiple that are over 15,000. There's a 17,000 acre fire. There's the Zinc fire, which is 11,500 acres, and just a ton of 1,000 acre fires, 700 acre fires, so on and so forth. A lot of those are nearing containment and an average cost around 30 grand for those fires, it seems. Kentucky had some fires. Virginia popped a fire called the Bradley Farm Road fire. 150 acres, but again, those northeastern states seen some fire in that deciduous environment with the leaf litter on the ground that's been exposed and has dried out. The snow has started to melt, so that has become available in the springtime for wildfire growth. Not surprising, but hey, they're seeing some larger fires. There was the Double Gate fire down in Florida as well. This is the one we talked about where it was 100% contained on the 5th of April, but it snuck out and it basically doubled in size after that. It's near Daytona Beach, Florida. They mapped it at 3,181 acres. It's back down to under 100% containment. I believe they have it. They jumped down to 75%, but I think they've bumped it up higher since then. And currently no cost associated with that. Then if you move to the southwest area or region 3, as we said, they bumped up to a preparedness level 2. They had 39 new fires, two of those being large. One uncontained large fire, which is the Williams fire. And that one is 2 miles northeast of Palomas, Arizona. But at this point in time, it's basically a dead fire. It's an ashtray. That was 1,320 acres, though. They have it at 90% contained and a total cost of $90,000. So they're spending $1,000 for every 1% containment on that fire. Then if you move to the Rocky Mountain area, they had this 403 fire, which we discussed, human-caused, on Wednesday's show on the Substack. We discussed that it looks like criminal charges are coming on that fire. The sheriff's office is very upset with some residents that seemingly started this thing. It doesn't sound like they started it on purpose, but it sounds like they did some really dumb things, allegedly, and it caused this fire. That one ran 1,518 acres. Smokey Bear Hotshots showed up. They have it at 60% contained. That fire, amazingly, is costing already $1 million, and it got dumped with snow. They woke up to 17 degrees and a bunch of snow on the ground. Kansas had a few fires, 2,300 acres on the Parallel fire. They had a Shannon Creek fire that almost touched 2,000 acres. And then the Mark Twain National Forest in the eastern area had an incident in Missouri. That was the Devereaux fire. Timber fire, but mostly smoldering. They got around it. And to talk about cost compared to different states to states, this fire was 2,000 acres, roughly. It was 1,921 acres. They have it 95% contained and the cost only 10 grand. That's what's going on around the nation with wildfires this week. Again, this list will continue to grow and we'll see your standard 1,000, 2,000, 10,000, 50,000 acre fires showing up here soon enough. We'll be sure to keep those updates coming weekly and of course on the Substack on our Wednesday show and all the articles we put out there. And this is a perfect time to thank all of my Substack subscribers. Everything that I do is supported through that. It's just $6 to become a paid Substack subscriber. And I couldn't do anything that I'm doing now without that. Hey, there's also an option to just be an unpaid subscriber. We have nearly 10,000 of those at this point in time. These folks are getting the podcasts articles, workouts, and everything else directly into their inbox. But the archives and the extra podcasts, specifically the Wednesday podcast, is just on Substack. If I do interviews, those come out on the Substack first before I post them publicly to the other platforms. And of course, all of the article archives and the podcast archives become available to you as a subscriber to the Hotshot Wake Up Substack. Again, it's just $6. All of our donations come out of that. We helped out a Pioneer Peak hotshot just recently whose father had a stroke while out of the country, and they ran into a bunch of, it sounded like it's an absolute mess. And you can imagine if you have a family member who's overseas on vacation, they have a medical emergency, you can't get them back, the hospital's over there asking for money, and you run into a jam. So that was our last donation that went out, and of course we put out an article and shot that out to all of our followers so we could help out that family. And again, none of that is possible without the paid subscribers to the Substack. So if you want to participate in that, just go to thehotshotwakeup.substack.com, click on subscribe, it's just $6, and I can't thank you enough. It's getting busier, and as we move into the summer, this starts to occupy more and more and more of my time. It's already a full week that I'm working on everything that I work on. And it's just a lot of time and energy that I end up putting into all this stuff. Hopefully you enjoy it. I know a lot of you do. A Substack article now gets 6,500 reads in the first 24 hours. It's insane. And the mass majority of you are those free subscribers. And that's fine. Just please share, like, you know, discuss the articles if you're not a paid subscriber. But if you do enjoy the content and want to ensure that it continues on, just click on that subscribe button. It's just $6. Stay tuned for the Forest Service and Bureau of Land Management update on what's going on with the job series, the pay, and everything else. And then we'll talk about these new rules that are really restricting states and even the federal agencies who want to do prescribed burning in the national forests, but other governmental organizations seem to be putting the restrictions on tighter and tighter.
I have traveled this year over all the United States, through the Alleghenies, the White Mountains, and the Catskills, the Rockies and the Bitterroot Mountains, the Cascades, the Coast Range, and the Sierras. I have traveled.
On April 4th, we got an update on what's going on with the pay and series implementation from the Forest Service. It's a letter from Deputy Chief Jaleth Hall Rivera, who's the state and private and tribal forestry deputy chief. And we've been waiting a while for an update. We've been discussing what's going on. There's been these budget proposals with these new raises in them. But really, this is the first time that they have put out a public statement addressing, first and foremost, the series, which we haven't heard a lot about. There's been a lot of questions about that as well. A lot of people are asking me, if you switch over to the new job series, do you have to do that to get the pay raise that they're proposing? Or can you stay in the old series and still get the pay raise? Again, I don't know all the details to this. And also, things are constantly changing and will change until until they figure this thing out and get something passed, which if you're a longtime listener, you know that I am not surprised by any of the delays. And I've been hammering it pretty hard because it seems like we just really can't get anything solid and concrete. But let's hammer through this update. There's been some folks who contacted me about the wording and language in this, and when we get there, we'll have a chat about it. So the letter says, quote, "I'm happy to provide another update on what's happening with wildland firefighter pay and the implementation of the wildland firefighter job series. This work is part of a larger ongoing effort to implement the bipartisan infrastructure law. As you read in the Chief's Forest Service Fiscal Year 24 budget update," we covered that on the Substack show, so if you want to check that out, it's there if you want to hear what's going on there. But basically, it talks about what's going on with the new proposed raises. The letter continues saying, "We are working with Congress on firefighter compensation reform. This includes a permanent base pay increase for all firefighters, incident standby pay, capacity increases of approximately 970 more wildland firefighters, and much-needed housing facility maintenance and repair. The White House submitted legislation to Congress last week to make these workforce improvements a reality. We will post a set of frequently asked questions related to the draft bill's language as soon as possible. It also includes funding to continue our joint federal wildland firefighter health and well-being program with the Department of the Interior to address the unique experiences and mental health challenges of wildland firefighters. I will be adding the joint Department of Interior / Forest Service Wildland Firefighter Behavioral Health and Well-being Strategic Action Planning Summit next week with leaders from both agencies. Shorten that up, guys. That's a long name for saying, hey, we're depressed. You know, like there's, you could shorten that up a little bit. There will be a roll up your sleeves and work alongside qualified mental health experts and professionals to develop this program further. Great. Hopefully that goes well and we actually see something good come out of that. It continues saying wildland firefighters have received more than $250 million in temporary pay supplements through the bipartisan infrastructure law funding. Yeah, well, a lot of them haven't seen it as well. We should know that by now, and you should see the emails that I'm getting of people trying to figure out where their money is. It's pretty incredible. There's even senators, and again, I talked about this on the Substack podcast, but there's even senators, well-known senators, who are writing to wildland firefighters and hotshots being like, yo, we can't even get a response. I'm sorry. It sounds like you're getting screwed. They botched it so bad. Anyway, continuing, for many firefighters, the temporary supplements have simply provided a living wage and they rely on the premium pay from fire assignments to get ahead. Yeah, 100% true. It says that it's possible that the current bipartisan infrastructure law funding could run out before Congress advances legislation for a long-lasting pay solution. This may result in firefighter pay returning to pre-supplement levels. There's a lot of people that are concerned about this. Again, I've been getting messages and emails saying, when does the money run out? Well, the money looks like it's going to run out in September. And if I had a spare $1,000, I would bet that there's going to be some gap in when the supplemental pay runs out and the pay increases are implemented. I would make that bet. How long? I don't know. It might only be a couple weeks. But the way that things have been pushed on the back burner and everything's turned into a political fighting match, I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised. I just wouldn't be surprised. The letter continues saying, we are looking at mitigation measures to prevent pay reductions, but we need firefighters to plan for this possibility. And this is where all the letters came out, where they say plan for this possibility. Excuse my language, but it's like, what the fuck do you want me to do? You're telling me that my wage is going to get cut? What? I purchased a house. This is what people are telling me. Like, I purchased a house because you told me the raises were coming, plus the supplemental pay came in, so the bank asked what my wage was so that I could get a mortgage, and they took that, and now a year and a half later, you're telling me that I might not be able to continue getting this pay? It's so frustrating that they just can't figure this out. And it's not just the agencies. It's Congress, and it's the presidency. It's everybody really just not caring, is what it comes down to. And the main problem, and I've harped on this as well, is they keep attaching this stuff to highly contentious political legislation, which instantly puts it in jeopardy. And then the politics start getting paid, and they're like, hey, they don't want to vote for paying our wildland firefighters. And they're like, well, you attached the pay bill to, like, some crazy legislation that, of course, I don't want to vote for. And then they go back and forth and they have their campaign commercials that they can make out of those sound bites. And we just move into a re-election cycle. And wildland firefighters are eating Uncrustables thinking to themselves, what the hell? Like, what the hell is going on here? Continuing, it says, of course, as soon as Congress enacts permanent pay solution, we will work to get those monies in your pocket as quickly as possible. As to the job series, Washington Office Fire and Aviation Management, with support from Human Resources Management, we continue to work diligently on the implementation. Field subject matter experts from the regional fire organizations have been reviewing current position descriptions, and human resource management classifiers have been reclassifying fire positions to move them, when appropriate, into the new 0456 series. Okay, who decides what moves and who decides when it's appropriate? Those are the questions I would like to see answered. These eligible positions will be sent to the department for a final decision. This work is expected to be completed by August of 2023. Mark your calendars, folks. Mark your calendars. Series completed by August of 2023. It says, we are also building the intentional time for employees, the union, and supervisors to engage in this process. You may have heard we asked for and were granted an extension until December of 2023 for this phase of the series implementation. This process is complex, and we ask for more time to get this feedback and transparency and share the steps of this process. This all came about because people who were making this happen, this new job series happen in the first place, were basically caught copying and pasting the old job series into the new job series and making a document and saying, hey, look, it's new. And then a bunch of people called them out, including myself, and... Oh, man, the late Bill Gabbert from Wildfire Today was calling them out, and they had to tuck their tail in between their legs and say, yeah, we did do that, so now we'll try to change that. And ultimately, what we ended up with is they're saying, hey, December of 2023, maybe we'll have this all figured out. When it comes to the Bureau of Land Management and the Department of the Interior, it says this, the Department of the Interior has been on this journey with us every step of the way. They, too, have been working within their process and systems to implement the new series, and we remain aligned in much of what we do. However, the Department of the Interior will implement the new series by announcing open 0456 positions this year. They will migrate employees to the new series sooner, simply because the size and scope of their workforce is much smaller than ours. We will continue to communicate with you about the Department of the Interior's intentions and, more importantly, to provide the why behind our different pace with regular updates of these efforts. It's the pace, the difference in pacing of how this has been going between the Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management continues to expand. And what it seems like, and I've talked to some folks in the Bureau of Land Management, it seems like the Department of the Interior is like, what the hell is taking so long? We're just going to slam forward with this because we got a bunch of employees who are worried that this is never going to get done. The letter ends with, we look forward to future engagements with the fire community. So basically a full wrap up. It sounds like they're hammering out this job series, but they're not going to have position descriptions and anything to be signed off until August. And they have also asked for a reprieve or a delay, allowing them to expand that timeline out to December of 2023, which was granted. When it comes to the pay, again, this process is evolving. Everything needs to be signed off. Again, it does seem like there's a lot of things attached with the firefighter pay that are going to make some senators and congressmen and women raise an eyebrow and say, yes, the firefighter pay thing is good, but why are we voting for all this other stuff as well? And since we started talking about the Tim Hart Act and the stuff revolving around that, it just makes me so frustrated. I've been saying it for over a year and a half. Stop attaching this stuff to highly contentious legislation. And the reason that's done is so they can use it for political reasons. So whoever is attaching what to what, they can say it's the bait and switch that we talked about, even with this prescribed burn ban down in New Mexico. You say it's one thing, but then when someone's like, I don't like that, you turn it around and you actually say it's something else. And then it's done for political reasons. So you can say, hey, my opponent doesn't support this. Or, hey, the person who's running against me doesn't support this. Or, you should vote for me because I support this, but other people don't. And then you never fill in the blank, which is, no, I support the raises, but, you know, it's this, 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 and this that just I have questions about. And ultimately, you stapled all these things together. So now we have to deal with it all together. That's what's going on with that. There's still numbers of people who email me and contact me and say, hey, look at this. I've been dealing with HR. They say they don't know when my supplemental pay is going to come through. They don't know when my back pay is going to come through. I'm still missing overtime. You know, it is what it is. Everybody out there who's a wildland firefighter is living it. Everyone who's listening who's not a wildland firefighter, I'm here to tell you it's a mess. It's basically the biggest botch job in these agencies' history. Arguably, there's some things that happened a few years ago that could be a bigger botch job, but when it comes to people's pay, this is a pretty big one. As always, I'll tell you what comes out in the end of April. I'm sure we'll get an update. And as we move closer into the summer season and hit that August date, we'll talk about that as well. But as of right now, you can contact your representatives and tell them to pass the proposed wildfire pay increases and just wait and see what Congress does at this point.
I have traveled this year over all the United States, through the Alleghenies, the White Mountains, and the Catskills, the Rockies and the Bitterroot Mountains, the Cascades, the Coast Range, and the Sierras. I have traveled.
So this week, PERC, or the Property and Environment Research Center, which is a think tank out of Bozeman, Montana, proposed a public statement on the Clean Air Act that the EPA is going through right now. And it is a trend. It's turning into a trend that these agencies, people who want to conduct prescribed burns, and people who are trying to fight wildland fire are running into a bunch of new regulatory processes and legislations and mandates coming out of these agencies that are basically handcuffing them into either applying for a permit, paying for a permit, and just increasing the amount of paperwork and bureaucracy that people have to go through to make these things work. On their website, it says Clean Air Act regulations make it harder to conduct forest restoration. A public comment submitted to the Environmental Protection Agency on its proposal to lower the national ambient air quality standards for particulate matter. It gives some main points saying prescribed fire is a critical tool for tackling the biggest source of particulate matter, which is wildfire smoke. The disparate treatment given wildfire smoke and prescribed fire smoke makes it more difficult to reduce particulate matter pollution, and the EPA's proposal to lower the particulate matter standard without first fixing barriers to prescribed fire would worsen air quality and extend the wildfire crisis, it says. The introduction to their public comment kind of just lays it out there, saying while reducing the particulate matter would benefit public health, simply lowering the standard may not translate into actual reductions. The Western United States is in the midst of a wildfire crisis and threatens communities, watersheds, forest ecosystems, air quality. And indeed, smoke from catastrophic wildfires is already the most significant source of particulate matter pollution. Lowering the standard will do nothing to address this problem because wildfire smoke is routinely excluded from the standard as an exceptional event. It will, however, penalize one of our most effective tools for tackling the wildfire crisis and reducing wildfire smoke, which is prescribed fire. Despite being less harmful, the smoke from prescribed fire counts against the standard. PERC urges the EPA to address this imbalance before lowering the standard. Doing so is necessary to help the federal agencies, states, tribes, and private parties restore good fire at the scale needed to fix America's forests. Now, it's a 7-page comment in total. For the first couple pages, it just talks about what's been going on in the wildfire world, how there's trends that it's increasing, the severity of the fires, the severity of the air quality. They talk about how prescribed burning has been pushed by the federal government, states, and others as the way and the means to reduce catastrophic wildfire. And then they get into where these new restrictions will affect all that. It says, even for all the good that prescribed fires and prescribed burns do, the smoke they emit usually counts against the federal air quality standards, including the proposed PM 2.5 standard, which is this new Clean Air Act that the EPA is putting together. Consequently, these standards have proven to be a significant and persistent obstacle in increasing the pace and scale of prescribed burning. The Forest Service has explicitly recognized the lack of Clean Air Act exemptions as a barrier to prescribed burning and implementations. Flat out, I'm just going to say it, there's an internal battle. There's an internal war going on between the EPA and the wildfire agencies. There's this that's taking place with the Clean Air Act, where the agencies have been given billions and billions of dollars to implement prescribed burns in projects. And then at the same time, the EPA comes out and says, well, no, we're not going to give you an exemption for that because it's bad for the environment to do prescribed burns. Basically, that's what they're saying. They're saying it's bad for the environment to do prescribed burns. So you have to come to us to apply for an exemption, but they're not getting them. And then ultimately, you either can't do your prescribed burn or you have to bring them into your prescribed burn plan and have them take a role into how we can make this happen. And then ultimately, this just extends the length of time it takes to do these prescribed burns. It's plain and simple that there's a political battle happening when it comes to all this stuff. Because with that, the retardant ban has to do with the Clean Water Act and not getting exemptions for that. And as we talked about on the Wednesday show on the Substack, I suggest everybody listen to it. On this retardant ban, basically, Congress had a workaround and the agencies were going to publicly back it that we're going to fix the issue with this retardant ban and the lawsuits going on. And the CEQ, which is basically, they're basically an arm or overseer of the EPA. And I say that, it's me saying that, not anybody else, but everyone in the CEQ, or a lot of them had high-level roles in the EPA. And basically, the CEQ went to the agencies and said, you can't publicly support this legislation that gets you out of this jam. You can't publicly support legislation that's a workaround to all of the bureaucracy that we've created with all of these new rules. And again, what's hypocritical and ironic is the agencies and the people who went publicly in front of the citizens and said, we need to save the planet and do more prescribed burns, and we need hundreds of billions of dollars to implement all this stuff, are now the same organizations and people who are saying, by the way, there's new rules on all of this, and you can't do it because it's bad for the environment, but you have to go through us now. You have to go through us to do any of this stuff. And this is agency on agency. The public comment continues saying lowering the PM 2.5 standard without first fixing the treatment of prescribed fire under the Clean Air Act could paradoxically worsen air quality by limiting an effective tool for reducing wildfire smoke. In fact, as the maps on the next page show, and then they list all of these things and show air quality maps, the areas that the EPA expects will have the most difficult time meeting the new proposed standards are those at the greatest risk of wildfire and where prescribed fire is most urgently needed. These areas need more opportunities to implement controlled burns, not fewer. Under the Clean Air Act, requisite to protect public health standard, the EPA must consider the likely impacts of the proposal on prescribed fire and wildfire smoke. Then they go on to explain how the EPA treats firework displays, like public displays by cities and counties and states, as less threatening than prescribed fire. They say prescribed fire is worse for the environment than large-scale firework displays. And they go on to say, hey, we need to change all of this. Please consider this because we see this as being a huge, huge problem going into the future if we don't fix all this stuff. I'll post the link to the comment in the description on the Substack, and Everyone can take a look if you want, but basically that's it. These think tanks out of Montana are basically saying what the agencies want to say, the Bureau of Land Management and the Forest Service, but they can't because they're going up against the EPA. And it's not only issues with wildfire, it's now issues with prescribed fire. In wildfire, the EPA is saying, hey, you can't get exemptions for using retardant. And if you want to, you can ask for an exemption, but basically you have to go through us. And then the executive branch is telling the agencies, you can't support congressional legislation that makes it a law to where you don't need that exemption. Basically handcuffing the agency heads. And then on the prescribed fire side, they're introducing a new Clean Air Act that makes prescribed fire designated as worse for the environment than large-scale fireworks celebrations and displays, and saying, hey, you want to do your prescribed fire, but you can't because of the particulate matter, and maybe we could let you do it, but you got to go through us. You got to ask for an exemption. By the way, we haven't been approving the exemptions, but you got to file for one anyway. And maybe we'll let you do your burn. Like, maybe we will. But by that time, there's already a wildfire ripping. And then they say, oh my gosh, look how bad wildfire is. This is what's going on in the agencies right now. I think it's good for everybody to know that this is the backdoor political, basically, it's bullshit, that's taking place in Washington, D.C. People wonder why they can't pass wages. Well, it's like they can't even let each other do prescribed burns without getting at each other's throats. And it's all a power ego trip. Seemingly. It sure seems that way. That it's a power ego trip by bureaucrats who want control and want to be able to tell other agencies and people what to do. It's a really bad look all around, and you hate to see it. Hey, thanks again to all the paid Substack subscribers. Couldn't do it without you. Thanks to all the free subscribers as well. Like I said, that's growing to near 10,000. A fraction of that are our paid subscribers, but I thank you very much. Again, I couldn't do this without you. It supports everything we do, the donations, the extra podcasts is what you get, the extra articles is what you get, all of the archives, the workouts. So thank you very much. If you are a free subscriber to the Substack, all I ask is, hey, you share, like the articles and the podcasts and pass them around. And if you find yourself listening and reading often, consider that $6 to the Substack to become a full-time subscriber. On that note, hey, check in on someone you haven't talked to in a while, see how they're doing. Get out, get some exercise, get outside. The sun is prevalent now. Eat some good food. Make sure you hydrate and stretch. Get the rest you need, because that's the most important part of recovery. But always remember, when you get up, you got to get it done.